your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua, that's where we are today. Very interesting kind of message today. I was going to take this part on and then kind of run through it and go on to the part everybody knows, the Battle of Jericho, but we wouldn't do either one of these justice if we did that. And because we have an extra thing kind of in the service today, I didn't want to try to take on too much. So for those of you, because there are nearly 20 of you, at least, in the room today who have not been with us, all right, you're about to get the Reader's Digest as to what has been going on, okay? Now, I talk rather rapidly, okay? This is normal. I'm going to get a little faster to get through the intro. I'll slow back down for the rest. We have begun the book of Joshua. We're very excited about the book of Joshua because we feel like that it connects with where our church is, okay? In the Old Testament, we have the five books of the law. They're the law and the history. They set up who the nation of Israel is going to be. You all basically know the stories of Abraham and of Moses, all right? And how the people got taken into Israel. You've seen the movie The Prince of Egypt, all right? And then Moses goes in, the plagues come, they pull the people out, they go through the Red Sea, all right? And God leads them over the army, leads them to the promised land. Again, I need to say that, the promised land, which means it was the land that God, the one who never lies, promised to them. So it was their land because God promised it to them, okay? So they get to the promised land, and they prove to everyone in the universe who will come before them and after them that they are Baptists, okay? They vote on whether or not to go in. They vote 10 to not to 2, not to go in. And they don't go into the promised land because
they're too big and they'll beat us up.
After God parted the Red Sea, after he sent the dove, the quail, the birds out of the sky, after he gave them bread on the ground, after he brought water from the rock, after Moses and his happy stick did all the cool stuff, they still didn't want to go in.
And they were scared.
And so they wandered around in the desert for 40 years eating communion crackers off the ground. True story. That's what, you know, manna is. It's unleavened bread, communion crackers. Yuck. All right? 40 years. They go through arguments. They go through snakes. The people who made the decision die. And the kids go, we don't want to do this anymore. There was a place that God told us we could go. I believe it's still there. Can we go? Moses turns the leadership over to a man named Joshua. And they decide to go on into the promised land, which is theirs. And the book of Joshua is them taking the land, submitting to leadership, getting to know renewed relationship with the Lord their God, separating themselves as a unified country into the 12 tribes, finding land that's theirs. Cattle people can find good cattle land. Corn people find good corn land. You know, mater people find good mater land. All right? Whatever, you know, they do that. And they work this thing out together. That's the story. So we have come through a time in the 50-year history of our church where we have kind of done this. And a lot of times we've come close to the bottom, shot back up, close to the bottom, shot back up. And over the last couple of years, God has begun to say, there's a place for you. There is a hope for you. There is a community for you. And he has begun to show us amazing things that are way beyond any little bald-headed preacher, way beyond any talented musician, way beyond any elder leadership that is out here, way beyond any votes or any money that we could raise or any money that we could find. He's done unbelievable things. There are more kids, fifth grade and under, in the church building today than there were people in the whole sanctuary 18 months ago. We are at the end of this month, we're looking at a 250% increase in our average attendance and a 220% increase in our offering and a 350% increase in our children in the last 12 months. God does those things. And so, experience God's miracles, God's power, as we give praise to God and learn how to be a church together, the cow people got to get along with the mayor people. And the mayor people got to get along with the corn people. And the corn people got to get along with the salsa people. Because you need chips and salsa. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's right. If we don't get along with the mayor guy, our chips are going to be dry. You understand what I'm saying? And we got to find us an avocado guy too. Because we're going to need some Mark Amaldi too. Can I get a witness? All right?
Amen.
Got to have it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? When people come together, though, they have different beliefs. They have different things that they cling to. Different things that they're excited about, okay? Different things that they have to do before the Lord. And remind me, as we seek out people to join our church, can somebody love on an HVAC guy? Please. So, God made it clear that, if I'm sweating, I know y'all are here. All I have to say is, if you're warm and uncomfortable, hell ain't for you. Okay? And everybody got saved? The pool is full. Let's go. All right. First chapter of Joshua, basically, God calls out Joshua. Okay? God calls him out, says, you the man. You know, call the man an outlaw. Okay, yes. That was my dad, Sean Connery. All right. Then we have the story of Rahab. All right. Spies go in, and God uses one of the worst, one of the vilest of women, a prostitute who is well known, to do his will, to follow him. And because of her salvation in Christ, the spies survive. Her family survives. All right. They are told that the land is theirs. They go in. They get ready. Then they cross the Jordan River, which at most times is probably no wider than this front pew here, all right? And we learned last week that it had swelled to over a mile wide. It was rushing. Nobody could survive that. And they carried the Ark of the Covenant out, and it stopped completely. And the whole nation of Israel was able to march through, get to the other side. They built an altar. They honored God. You've probably heard the song, Carrie, play it. Come thou fount of every blessing. All right. Second verse says, here I raise mine Ebenezer. All right. Some of the churches heard this. Some of you haven't. Ebenezer is not Scrooge. Okay. Ebenezer, the literal translation is stone of help. Okay. So they went and got 12 stones and they put them up and they actually raised this particular altar would have qualified as an Ebenezer, a place where God helped us. Okay? So we mark this as the stone of help. The here I raise my Ebenezer. It's a mark in your life where God did something that you couldn't do on your own and helped to push you forward. Okay? And what we are getting ready to experience today is what happened right after that, right before they pushed forward to take Jericho. Now, it's a little odd and it's a little uncomfortable. You'll see why in a minute. And it's a little simple. But when you play it against the New Testament, which we like to do here, we don't like to take a verse and go, here's the verse. And we do what it says without any context, without any understanding of it. That's dangerous, people. You can quote scripture and get the wrong place if you don't take it in the context that it is. Okay, so we want to look at this because contextually this is fine. But actually taking it with the whole scripture, it gets confusing. And I want to see if I can work you through my confusion. Maybe you all are like, oh, I get it. I understand. I didn't. I had to work this out this week, and that's why we're just going to do this part. All right? The title of the section today, welcome to Nicholasville Baptist, is The Circumcision at Gilgal. Every man in the room went, oh, good. Now, when the Amorite king west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the curse heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites, their hearts melted, and they no longer had the courage. Second, all right? Michael Phelps. Well, the Israelites start all this stuff. You and I both know that excitement takes you some places. Some places. Let me explain. Anybody ever been to youth camp?
Yeah.
Anybody ever been to a revival? Oh man, Thursday night comes along, every girl in the place cries hard and hugs. There's mascara everywhere. Half of them don't know why they're crying. And they're going to give up their rock music, and they're going to break up with their boyfriend that they're doing things with they shouldn't do. And they're going to be nice to their friends, and they're not going to make fun of people. And they make these commitments on this emotional high, and everything's going to be good. And then the next year at camp, you know what they do? They cry. Okay. I am not saying that these emotions and these things that they're doing are invalid. But I am saying that all of us as human beings have a tendency to grab hold of things in a moment, or grab hold of things when everybody else does, or grab hold of things when the Spirit's moving. Ride those things like you do a fan of a ball team, all right? And then when the season's not going, and you got that downtime and that lull, or you're not at camp, or you're not with the worship leader, you're not with the preacher there, your life kind of grabs you. Okay? So there's got to be something. Now, if I had the answer to this, y'all wouldn't need me, I wouldn't need you, we'd have it all figured out. And I don't know if we're going to figure it out today, but I am going to give you some help in what's going on here. They're on an emotional high. That emotional high won't keep them close to the Father. It won't. It won't keep them close to the Father. And God knows that. God knows you can't just ride victories, because He's the God of the mountains and the valleys, all right? He's the God of the sun and the God of the storm. And any of you who've gone through storms, man, I know that you know that sometimes you do real well. Your chin stays up pretty good. Sometimes people get on your nerves. Sometimes the family gets in your way. Sometimes you just want to say, hey, God, if anybody else dies, okay, I'm done. Because I was talking about this the other day. When it rains, it pours. It pours. And people love it on your house. But it hurts. And sometimes you just don't want to deal anymore. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this. You're going to be there again. So we understand that riding emotional highs is fine, but it doesn't get you through life the way we ought to be gotten through life. It doesn't get you to the promised land of what God has for you. That Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, it doesn't get you into all of those. Listen. So here's what happens. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, and please understand that Joshua's just now, you know, getting his leader boots on. He's just now, you know, stepping up in the game. And so God speaks to him. He's got to turn around and speak this to all of his buddies, all of the guys he's grown up with. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives. Okay, rocks. Arrowhead rocks. Okay, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeah Haraloth. Snip, snip. Now this is why he did so. Because we, good Baptists, good people, we need some kind of explanation for this. Because we preached on this in Acts. When I preached on it, I made it clear that there were two things that we were going to learn from this. All right? Thing A, it's all right. I just didn't pull the cord up into my belt loop and I sat on it. All right? We talked about circumcision in two regards. When all of the people, during the day of Pentecost in Acts, when the disciples went out and started actually preaching and the Holy Spirit came down and there were thousands and thousands of people saved on the same day, all right? And they weren't all Jewish. They weren't all Israelites. They came from at least 12 nations and probably more nations. And then they were going out into other nations and saving people. What they would do traditionally was, when you came to Jesus, you'd get snipped. And getting snipped was a representation of, I am one of them, all right? It was kind of like when you get in a fraternity, all right, and you have some rites of passage. When you identified with the Jewish culture, your circumcision made you one of them, all right? But for all the Jewish men except for a couple of stories, this being one of them. This happened when they were a week old. Eighth day, all right? When they were a week old, this happened. So they didn't really, you know, feel anything. They didn't remember anything. Most of us don't remember that time in our lives if that has happened to us, all right? And so what the leaders of the church had to do was decide if they were going to take all these 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old men and try to snip them, or if they weren't. So they didn't know what to do. They went to Jerusalem, to the main council of Jerusalem, and they all talked it out, and they sent back, listen, most of you guys who did this when you were babies, we can't do this with these men because they're not babies anymore, and there can be another way. And over the course of the book of Acts and following, by representation of what Jesus did in the Gospels, the church, the Christians, took on a new circumcision. Do you know what that's called? Come on.
Baptism.
Baptism became the identification of your salvation in Christ and your being a part of the family. All right? So instead of circumcising, all right, we baptize, and that is a representation of I am a sinner. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm washed in the blood. I'm back up. Or as Jesus, he died, he rose again, and his death is what frees me from my sin. So baptism became the new circumcision in as much as it was how you identified with the church, how you set yourself apart as an example. All right? Well, what do we have here then? First, you have to remember, all right, that this is not the New Testament and Jesus hasn't come yet. Okay? So there is no baptism. The second thing that you have to remember is we're way, way back in the Old Testament and way, way back in history, and there were things they did like sacrificing animals, sacrificing fruit, all right? Other ways that they paid for their sins and they identified. All of the group of people that followed God up to that point had been circumcised. During the time that they wandered around in the wilderness, none of that went on. They had pushed aside some of the sacrificial rites, some of the, I am proclaiming myself before the Lord, some of the, I'm willing to give a little, no pun intended, in order that I may identify with the people of Jesus. You're welcome. The people of Jesus, all right? They hadn't gone through that. Now, what you expect to hear is, I'm sorry, we got a what? With a what? On the where? That's what you expect, right? When Joshua says it. Because these people have been wandering around for 40 years. No, the people have talked about it, but nobody's had to do it. So they're thinking they're free and clear. But they understand that God is asking them for something. God is asking them to set themselves apart and do something sacrificial that costs them something in order to identify themselves with Him. They could have argued. They could have screamed. But they did not. They went through with the circumcision at that time. Listen, following God is a free gift, but it's not at all. The free gift of God is eternal life, but it's not really at all. God does require something of you. Let me explain that. We don't have to go to some doctor, all right, and get snippety-doo-dah, all right? We don't have to do that. But that would scare some of us. It would worry some of us. But is there anybody in this room who could get on a ride at an amusement park that goes up 150 feet and drops straight down and it not scare you at all? Is there anybody in this room who would be like, yeah, I can do that? All right, there's about 10, all right? How many of you would be like, no, thank you. All right, I'm out. All right. How many people in the room can get up in front of 10,000 people and talk, and their heart never skip a beat, never go fast, never go slow? They are in their comfort zone. Yeah. I can get up, 10,000 people doesn't, I mean, I don't even blink. Alright? How many people are like, no, put me on the roller coaster. Scares me to death. Yes, 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 yes. Okay. I have people all the time. And we've actually, church has actually changed over the last 20 years. Because we don't do a lot of walking up in front of people. We don't do a lot of come down and stand up here and parade in front of people. Not because we don't think it's true, but because most of y'all are scared stiff. Most of y'all look like, man, that's just weird. And it's even worse to put a t-shirt on, a pair of shorts, a pair of Umbros, a pair of yoga pants, if that's your thing. All right, guys, try to refrain from that. All right? And get in a pool in front of people and let a guy that's half your size put you under the water and hope he gets you back up. So that scares some of you, all right? But there's some sacrifice there. You don't get to let your pride get in the way. You don't get to let your put out all that people might think. You don't, listen, baptism involves, for some of you, very scary, very overcoming, very humbling moments. And guess what? God asks that of you in order for you to say, I am with you. Before they go out, split apart, take over the largest wall around the largest city, God had to know that they weren't in for their Thursday night Christ session, and they weren't in for their revival, and they weren't in because he was doing all the miracles. They were in with their mind, they were in with their body, they were in with their spirit, and they would humble themselves regardless of the ask. And God asked, and without a question, without a statement, without any arguing, the people did. All those men who came out of Egypt, all of the military, they died in the desert, and all the people that came out had been circumcised, but the people born in the desert had not. The Israelites had moved about the desert for 40 years until all of them were of age, and when they left Jesus, or when they left Egypt, they had died since they had not obeyed the Lord, for the Lord had sworn them they would not see the promised land, and had fulfilled that promise, and not given them a land flowing with milk and honey. But he raised their sons up, and they were the ones that Joshua circumcised. They were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the nation had been circumcised, they remained in the camp until they were healed. And then the Lord said, today, I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So this place has been called Gilgal. He took away not just the foreskin, all right, but he took away the past. In that moment, here's what he said. Here's what he said. Just like he says in the baptismal waters, just like he says when you are saved, all those people that you slept with, no more. All those things you stole, no more. All those lies, no more. I am removing your past. I am removing, in Egypt, your bondage. I am removing the slavery that had you. I'm taking my children and I'm breaking every chain and I'm setting them free and I am ready to move forward if you will move forward with me. The circumcision said, no more are you a slave to the Pharaoh. No more are you a slave to the people who God's children are free when they decide that He is the way and the truth and the life. And there's not any other way. And when you're ready to make that call, not just with your mouth, not just with your lips, listen to me, but with your life, with the sacrifice that it takes to be a giver, with the sacrifice that it takes to be a server, with the sacrifice that it takes to get out of bed and be here, or to get out of work and get here, to be a part of a small group, a part of a Bible study, a part of caring for our children, a part of caring for our teenagers. When you're ready to sacrifice a little, Acts promises us that He will give us more than we could ever ask for or imagine. And He says, beyond this moment, marked by your freedom from all that you've been through, I'm ready to give you all of the land that I promised you. And no one's going to stand in your way. Church, God is ready. God is ready to give us. Look, I wish I had limits. I wish I had buildings to tell you about, or people to tell you about, or songs. I wish I had things to tell you about. I got no clue where we're headed.
What?
Yeah, no clue. No clue where we're headed. And some of you are like, well, without a vision, the people perish. Oh, I have a vision. I have a vision. And I'm not being funny here. Jesus is back.
vision. You get it? Wherever he leads, I'll go. The NBC is going wherever God is going. We're going to jump in his footsteps as he walks through the snow. We're going to jump in his footprints as he walks through the sand. We're going to give all of our money if that's what he asks for. We're going to give all of our time if that's what he asks for. We'll build more buildings or tear down buildings if that's what he asks for. But I'm following Jesus, and I'm going to hold your hand while we do it. Let's go. Because God is setting us free, and there are more things that we could ever ask for or imagine. I'm not telling you those things because I don't know. I'm telling you them because they're too many to talk about. And we're going to sit here a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, and our chins are going to be on the floor. And we're going to go, how? How? And God's going to go, hey. That's what God's going to say. He's going to say, and he's not going to be able to go, oh, look at all that stuff. He's going to be the, I've been waiting on it. It's been here for you. The promised land didn't appear. It was already there. Been there the whole time. They're walking around the desert. Jesus is looking there going, they could be here. Here they are out here. I want to get rain here, sunshine here. I got to throw snakes down over here. Come on, people. Follow me, and I got good. Church, let's go get it. Man, I wish I had the sound of music right now. It's just playing in my head. Climb every mountain. What are dancing on it? Yeah! It's free! Let's go! Church, let's go! Together! That's what I'm talking about! One child down here, all into it. Woo! Glory! Anybody listen? You don't have to. Anybody want in? I want in. I want in. Let's go. Let's do this together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's set, raise our Ebenezer. Thank you, God, for getting us through the tough times. Thank you, God, for getting us through our own personal beliefs. Thank you, God, for getting us through our politics. Thank you, God, for getting us through all that we've come through. Now, God, work on our hearts. Get me through the tough things that I'm going through. Get me through raising children alone. Get me through marriage. Get me through the relationships that I'm in. Get me through forgiving my best friend. Get me through having a, what is it, number 9, Jay, Jamie, how many of y'all got? Get me through. The begging heart too. Get me through with my family, with my family. Let's go get what he's got for us.